Imagine writing just 10 lines of like plain English and some super basic Python code
And
and
accidentally creating an AI that remembers your terrible spending habits for the rest of your life.
right. Exactly. I mean, today we're looking at a leaked draft document that shows how a new toolkit just made that exact reality possible and, made it almost effortless.
It's really a fundamental rewiring of how software is built. Like, we're moving away from treating AI as this distinct, super complicated module that requires, a whole team of specialists, to treating it as something you can just conjure up on your laptop over your lunch break.
Right, which is wild. And to fully grasp just how much the ground is shifting beneath our feet right now, we are exploring a course chapter draft. It's from the Koenig AI Academy.
Yeah, dated April 30th, 2026.
Right. And it's analyzing Google's newly launched Agent Development Kit, or ADK, which just rolled out as part of their Gemini Enterprise agent platform.
And the timing of this document is just critical. Like, we are looking at a snapshot of a platform that drastically lowers the drawbridge for developers and, tinkerers alike.
Absolutely. So our mission for this deep dive today is to really unpack this document, because the barrier to creating highly capable AI has just plummeted.
Oh, totally plummeting.
And whether you're listening right now are, a seasoned coder who builds apps every day, or you're just deeply curious about the tools shaping our future, understanding this new baseline is crucial.
Yeah, you really have to pay attention to this one.
For sure. So the document sets the stage right away by noting that the ADK is just a single pip package, which for anyone unfamiliar, that basically means it's a standard plug-and-play code module.
Right.
You just type a command into your terminal to download it, and you're ready to go. It's a pure Python library with zero system dependencies.
Which, and I really want to emphasize, this removes a massive layer of historical
But the
friction.
friction used to be terrible.
Yeah. Anyone who has tried to set up a complex AI dev environment in the past, they know the pain of system dependencies. You're usually dealing with, like, mismatched libraries, conflicting versions, software that runs totally fine on a Mac but breaks instantly on Windows.
Right. It's an
But a pure Python library with zero system dependencies, that means if your computer can run the most basic Python script, it can build an autonomous agent.
It just completely strips away the intimidation factor. But before we get into how these agents actually remember things,
Which is arguably the craziest
oh,
part.
for sure, the most mind-bending part of this whole document. But first, we need to understand how they actually do things. Like, how does this ADK simplify the actual building process?
Yeah.
Because the document has this really substantial section on defining tools for the AI to use. And historically, giving an AI a tool like a calculator or a calendar checker, that required this really convoluted maze of syntax.
Exactly. You'd have to use decorators, which, if you don't know, they're essentially these special tags you stick above your code.
It's like a little at symbol tool label just to explicitly signal to the framework that, hey, this function should be treated differently.
Yeah, and that you'd have to define the input and output schemas in a completely separate JSON file,
Right,
right?
yeah. You had to meticulously wire it all up so the AI could even understand the parameters it was allowed to touch.
It was so tedious. But this draft chapter explicitly says no decorator magic required.
Done.
In ADK, tools are just plain everyday Python functions.
Just normal Python.
So, if there are no special tags and no complex configuration files, how does the AI actually know what the tool is for?
This is the crazy part. By reading the developer's notes,
Wait, really?
ADK infers the tool schema straight from the function signature and the doc string at runtime.
The doc string, like, you mean the little text comments that developers write just to explain their code to other humans?
Yes, that is the paradigm shift right there.
Wow. In traditional programming, a doc string is, it's entirely passive, it's just documentation. But in ADK, the doc string becomes the active trigger mechanism.
That is so wild.
Right. The framework automatically reads the type annotations in the code. So, for example, it sees that a variable called amount must be a number or category must be text.
Okay.
And then it reads the doc string to understand the overarching context. And when the tool finishes its job, it simply returns what we call a JSON serializable value.
Let's clarify that for a second. JSON serializable basically just means it returns the data in a clean, structured format that the AI can easily read, right?
Exactly.
Rather than just spitting out this messy wall of text.
Precisely. It gives the AI structured data it can immediately use for its next thought process.
Okay, so if the framework is using the doc string to understand the tool, The Python functions docstring is essentially acting like a job description for the AI.
A highly specific job description, yeah. The document even highlights this one phrase, use this tool when, and then the developer just explains it.
Oh, wow.
The model actively reads that English sentence to decide when it should reach out and trigger the code.
Okay, let's explore the implications of that for a second, because if the model relies entirely on that textual description to shape its behavior, doesn't that mean the quality of a developer's English grammar is now, like, just as critical as their mathematical logic?
Yes. It completely flips the traditional engineering mindset.
That's crazy.
I mean, think about it. If your Python code is mathematically flawless, right? But your English description is really vague.
Like if I just write, does money stuff.
Yeah.
In the docstring.
Exactly. If your docstring just says, does money stuff, the AI model won't know when to use it. Or, honestly, worse, it will try to use your expense tracker to pull live stock market data because it just assumed money stuff meant literally everything financial.
Oh, man. So you are essentially programming in English to tell the AI how to use the Python.
That's exactly what it is.
That makes the what they call the instruction field mentioned in the document incredibly important. Like, if the docstrings are the job descriptions for individual tools, the instruction field seems to act as, like, the overarching company policy.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. The instruction field serves as the system prompt.
Okay.
This is where you establish the agent's persona and lay down the ultimate boundaries. So you might write, you are a precise, conservative financial assistant. Only use the provided tools to log verified expenses.
Don't go buying crypto or whatever.
Right. You'd say under no circumstances should you invent data or offer investment advice. And that system prompt, combined with those individual doc strings we talked about, that creates the entire behavioral fence keeping the agent from wandering off.
Okay, so you've written your plain Python functions.
Yeah.
You've crafted these super articulate English job descriptions in the doc strings, and you've set strict boundaries in the system prompt.
Right.
But how do you actually know if the AI respects those boundaries? Because, I mean, building a testing environment to see if AI behaves correctly usually takes almost as much time as building the AI itself.
Oh, it's a huge pain.
Yeah.
But that brings us to another bottleneck the ADK just completely eliminates.
Okay.
The draft details this built-in development server. By typing a single command in your terminal, just add web, it instantly spins up a browser-based chat interface right on your local machine.
So you just start chatting with the code you finished writing 3 seconds ago.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And the document provides this fantastic practical example of this. They build a budget tracker agent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the user opens this local chat and types in one highly relatable sentence. They say, I spent $12.50 on lunch and $4 on coffee this morning. How much have I spent on food today?
And to really unpack what happens next is to fundamentally understand the core of modern agentic behavior.
Wait, hold on, though, because if I type a multi-part question like that into, like, a standard older chatbot, it usually gets super confused.
Oh, yeah, it breaks.
It might answer the coffee part, forget the lunch part entirely, or just give me a generic response about, you know, the importance of budgeting.
Right.
Are you telling me this ADK system just inherently knows how to sequence the math without the developer explicitly writing a loop telling it to do so?
Zero routing logic is required.
Seriously?
Seriously. You didn't write an if-then statement. You didn't write a loop. By using a fast underlying model for development, and the text recommends using the Gemini Flash latest model for this local testing phase, the AI orchestrates the tool calls purely based on the system prompt and those doc strings.
Okay, so walk us through the actual sequence of events when that prompt hits the model. Like, what is it actually doing?
So the AI receives the prompt, it parses the natural language and realizes, oh, there are two distinct transactions here.
The lunch and the coffee.
Exactly. It looks at its available tools and reads the job descriptions. And it decides, first, I need to call the log expense tool for the $12.50 lunch. It does that.
Okay.
Then it says, I need to call that same tool again for the $4 coffee. It does that.
Oh.
And finally, it realizes the user asked for a total. So it seeks out a completely different tool like Get Expense Summary, calculates the total, and delivers the final answer to the user.
It builds its own execution plan on the fly.
completely autonomously.
That's incredible.
It is. And as a quick side note from the text, while Gemini Flash Latest is perfect for this fast, iterative local development, the document strongly advises builders to swap to Gemini Pro Latest when they move to production.
Oh, right, for the deeper reasoning.
Yeah, the Pro model offers much deeper reasoning for more complex, high-stakes tasks. But the underlying mechanism remains identical. The model does the routing, not the developer.
This multi-step logic is just brilliant. But multi-step logic is completely useless if the agent is an amnesiac. If I log my overpriced lattes on Tuesday, close my laptop, and open it on Wednesday, does my financial planner just forget I exist? Because without memory, it's just a fancy calculator.
And state persistence is historically the hardest part of building chatbots.
Right.
When the script stops, the memory in your RAM clears, and the context is totally gone. The Koenig Academy document addresses this by detailing the most important architectural choice in the entire platform, which is giving the AI a dual-layer brain.
A dual-layer brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, they call these two layers session state and the memory bank.
Mm-hmm.
Let's really break these down, because the synergy between them is fascinating to me. Session state seems to handle the immediate present.
Yes. Session state is scoped to a single active conversation.
Okay.
It holds the raw, real-time, back-and-forth messages, plus what we call structured state dictionaries. So in the budget example, your running list of today's exact expenses lives in the session state. And the key feature here is speed.
Because you need it to be fast while you're chatting.
Exactly. The document notes that session state operates with sub-millisecond latency.
Sub-millisecond. Wow. And to get that speed, developers write to the session state using a concept the document calls dependency injection.
Right.
Which honestly sounds like heavy computer science jargon. How does it actually work in practice?
It sounds scary, but ADK makes it remarkably simple. In your Python tool function, instead of writing complex code to fetch data, you simply type a parameter and label it as session.
That's it.
That's it. Mm-hmm. The framework scans your code, sees the word session, and automatically injects the current conversation context right into your tool.
So the framework essentially just hands the tool exactly what it needs right when it asks for it.
Exactly.
To use an analogy, session state feels a bit like a meeting room whiteboard.
Oh, that's good.
Right? You walk into the room, you start the meeting, and you just furiously write down notes, current math, immediate context on the board.
Yeah.
It's incredibly fast, and it's highly relevant to the specific problem you are solving right now. But when the meeting is over, someone wipes that whiteboard completely clean.
That is a perfect visualization. Session state is transient, highly detailed context for the now.
Right.
But you obviously don't want to rely on a temporary whiteboard for your permanent financial records. And that is where the second layer of the brain comes in, the memory bank.
Right. So session state is the whiteboard. The memory bank is like a meticulous assistance locked filing cabinet.
Yeah.
It holds permanent habits, long-term preferences, and these ongoing user profiles.
And the most crucial distinction here is how data actually gets into that cabinet. The developer does not manually write code to save things to the memory bank.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it is managed entirely automatically by the platform in the background.
But how does the platform know what's important enough to file away permanently? How does it decide?
Through a process called automated distillation. The platform runs a separate background model over your completed sessions. It essentially analyzes the finished whiteboard notes before they get wiped and synthesizes relevant facts into permanent memory profiles.
Synthesizes is the key word there, right? It's not just copy-pasting a massive transcript of everything I've ever said into some giant database.
Far from it. It's looking for patterns and distilling them down.
Okay.
The document gives a very clear example of this. The distillation process might analyze 10 different conversations you've had and generate a specific profile that says, this user tends to overspend on food. Last month, they spent $320 on dining.
So the AI is just quietly judging my coffee habit in the background.
Pretty much. It is observing and profiling. And the magic is that the AI automatically reads this distilled context in all future conversations.
That is wild.
Right. The next time you open the app to log a lunch expense, the agent already knows your historical spending habits.
It just knows.
You didn't have to remind it, and the developer didn't have to write a massive, complex database query to fetch your history from a server somewhere. The platform just seamlessly blends the fast whiteboard notes of today with the deep filing cabinet history of the past year.
I mean, that is a staggering shift in architecture.
Mm.
We now have an agent with plain English tools, automatic multi-step reasoning, and a highly sophisticated self-managing dual-layer memory system.
All working together.
Yeah. And up to this point in the course chapter, we've been running all of this locally on our laptop using that AgWeb command.
Right, because it's running on what they call the in-memory session service. It's storing everything temporarily on your machine, which is fantastic for fast iterative development.
Moving a complex architecture from a local laptop to a live production cloud environment is usually where developer dreams just go to die.
Oh, yeah. It's notoriously painful.
Right. Because scaling requires setting up dedicated cloud databases for all that memory, configuring complex deployment pipelines, and managing all these latency issues. How does this draft suggest we transition all this local magic to a global scale?
You're not going to believe it. According to the document, moving this entire sophisticated setup to Google's production cloud infrastructure requires changing exactly one line of code.
Only one line.
Just one.
I have to admit, when I read that in the source material, I was highly skeptical. Like, a portability promise like that is a massive claim.
Yeah.
It says you just swap the phrase in-memory session service for Vertex A session service. Does changing that single word really move everything flawlessly?
It does. And the reason it works reveals the true power of the platform.
Okay, lay it on me.
Everything else, your carefully written doc strings, your system prompts, your actual Python logic, all of it remains completely untouched because the underlying application programming interface, or API, is identical.
Oh, wow. So when my Python tool reaches out using that dependency injection to grab the whiteboard notes,
yeah,
it literally doesn't care if those notes are coming from my laptop's local memory or from a massive distributed Vertex AI database in a Google server farm somewhere.
Exactly. The handshake is exactly the same.
That's incredible.
By standardizing the interface via Vertex AI, Google has effectively made the infrastructure invisible. You, as the builder, get to spend all your time refining the agent's behavior, tweaking those English instructions to make it smarter, instead of tearing your hair out trying to connect a database to a server.
The document also addresses a really common fear with cloud deployment, which is sluggishness. It notes that cold starts on the agent runtime are sub-second for pre-warmed instances.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, even when your agent goes to sleep in the cloud, waking it up to answer a user's question happens almost instantaneously.
It is responsive, highly scalable, and demands virtually zero DevOps overhead from the developer. Like, you are no longer managing the house. You are just focused on having the conversation inside it.
Let's pull back for a second and just look at the sheer distance we've covered today in this deep dive.
It's a lot.
We started with a simple plug-and-play package installation. We defined complex tools using nothing but plain Python and simple English job descriptions.
Yep.
We watched the model automatically handle multi-step reasoning without us ever writing a single loop. We explored how the AI develops a permanent brain, you know, utilizing session state for the immediate whiteboard and an automated memory bank for the long-term filing cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we saw how deploying this to the cloud requires just one single line of code.
It is a profound level of abstraction. It takes the most punishing, frustrating parts of building an AI agent and makes them entirely invisible.
And bringing it back to you listening right now.
Yeah.
The reason this Koenig Academy document matters so much is that it signals the true democratization of complex AI architecture.
Absolutely.
You no longer need a venture-backed team of database engineers and deployment specialists to build an AI that genuinely remembers who you are and handles complex tasks.
No, the tools are right there. They're incredibly accessible, waiting for someone to just write a clear job description.
It opens the door for anyone with a basic grasp of Python and a clear vision to build systems that, I mean, even a year ago, would have been considered totally impossible for a single person to manage.
Yeah, it's undeniably exciting.
Yes. But as we close out this deep dive, there's one specific detail from the text that I want to leave you with, something for you to just mull over.
Oh, this is a good one.
Yeah. It goes back to that automated distillation process for the memory bank. We learned that the platform is constantly running models over our completed sessions, quietly synthesizing data in the background to build permanent profiles about our habits, our preferences, and, you know, our flaws.
Building a permanent, ever-evolving record of your digital behavior.
Right. And as these agents become deeply integrated into our daily lives, and those filing cabinets get thicker and thicker with synthesized observations, what happens when we want an AI to forget a past version of ourselves that we've outgrown?
That's the real question.
If the system automatically distills our history, how will we manage the right to be forgotten when our AI assistants eventually know our habits better than we know them ourselves?
It's definitely something to think about.
It really is something to keep in mind. The next time you notice a brand new AI, already knows exactly how you like your coffee.